desire y'all's prayers. I had to smile when Brother Bobby asked, does anybody know what we're going to hear tonight? Because believe it or not, sometimes even the minister doesn't really know. So I desire y'all's prayer tonight. I do have a little burden on my heart. I thought the Lord had given. And one that is a challenge to me, has been a challenge to me, and I feel like is one that he would have me share. This past meeting, I don't know how many of y'all took note of the messages, but the messages at this past meeting weren't really aimed at people that don't come to our church regularly, were they? It seemed to me there was a lot of things pointed our way. Comments. Challenges. The question was asked in one of the messages, do you know who's going to pray? To be honest with us, most of us probably could say, well, if it's the normal service, then you normally got these couple of people that are going to pray. When we give praise, do we give praise to God, or do we kind of fall silent in that category? There was a lot of, like I said, this has been a challenge for me. There's a lot of messages that should have had us moving out of our comfort zone, moving out of center, moving to align maybe with the new spot where the Lord was wanting us to go. And I want us to think about something. If I were to take a ball, put it on a string, and I push that string to one side, but I don't move the string up top, when I let go of the ball, what happens? Well, for a bit it goes back and forth, but over time it goes back to where it was. And if that is us, and spiritually the Lord saying, I need you over here, and so we move over there with the push of the meeting, if you will, but we don't do anything in our lives to say, okay, now what do I have to do to stay there? You're going to find when the push of the meeting is gone, you're going to start going back. You may swing back and forth and come back closer to the spot, but not as close, and then not as close, and then eventually you're right back into, dare I use the term, lukewarm territory. You're sitting there between hot and cold again. The Lord had tried to push you a little more into the heat. I don't know about you, but being pushed into the heat, does that sound like something we would naturally want? Sometimes you think of trials, they don't sound that good. But the trials are where the dross is purged away. So what I'd like for us to start looking at is our words, our thoughts. So in Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, says, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And then I also want us to read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 6 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Now, what I want us to think about is, what is a vow? What does it mean to vow? Is there a certain word, a certain key phrase that suddenly you know that this is a vow? Is it, I think of the term we hear a lot of times, people say, well, I promise I'll do that. Do we consider that a vow? And what is a vow? What does God consider a vow? We read the Word of God. And we pretty much take everything in the Word as truth, something that could be stood on. How many of us has read a Bible verse and said, "This verse the Lord has given me for strength for today. I'm going to stand on it." Does that verse anywhere say that it's a vow or a promise? Yet we know His Word is true. We know that what He said is going to happen. So the challenge that I want us to start considering is, what are we telling the Lord about how we're going to do, what we're going to, dare I say from the meeting, measure up on, what we're going to change? And are we considering that He wants our word to be as immutable as His? If during the messages you sat there and you thought, "Lord, I need to measure up on that. And I will." Have you? Because you told the Lord something. And we just read, this is back in the Old Testament, that we really need to be careful with what we tell the Lord we're going to do. Because He's a God that looks down and says, "I keep my word. What I speak happens, and it's not changing. And that's the way I want your speech. That's the way I want you to act." And I can tell you all, the challenge for me is, am I keeping my side? In a lot of the covenants in the Old Testament, there was, if you will do this, I will do that. And speaking for myself here and not for anybody else, some of the messages during the meeting, the challenge to me was, the Lord says, if you will do this, I need to measure up if I want His vow to be true. And I have told the Lord, I'm with your help, your strength, because obviously we struggle in our own, I intend to do that. But the question is, how intentional are we? You know, back to the pendulum. It's easy in a meeting, speaking for myself here, it's easy in the meeting to be, "Oh yes, I'm going to measure up." And you know, starting off a week-long meeting, that first Sunday, and just the, dare I call it, emotion, the fervor, the yes, it's really good, it's really strong. And now here I stand a Sunday after the meeting. Where's my pendulum at? I can tell you with the project I've had going on at work, my pendulum doesn't feel like it's where it should be. That the busyness of life has pushed me away from where I wanted to be. Some of the things I wanted to do, I wasn't as diligent at doing. Making sure I prayed every day. Making sure I took time to read and study. But do you know what I have to do? Lord, by your strength, by your might, I intend to keep what I said. With a big "help me" at the end of it. Because that's where the strength comes from. In Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37, says, "Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King, neither shalt thou swear by thy hand, thy head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Speaking plainly, speaking truthfully. What these verses say is God's not looking for you to say, Lord, I promise. Or Lord, I want to make a covenant with you. Or Lord, you know, your heaven, I'll swear by that. Lord, I don't want that. What I want is for you to speak and do. Simple. Might require some strength from him, some help from the Holy Spirit. But that's what God wants from us. What are we telling the Lord we're going to do? And then simply, are you doing it? Yes or no? And if not, we need to go back to the Lord. I have read up on the Nazirite vows. They would take a vow. And you know, part of it involved, they would shave their heads and they would do certain things. And then they would let their hair grow out for this time period. And they would abstain from I think it's pretty much eating anything to do with grapes, grape juice, things like that. And if they messed up during that time period, it wasn't, oh, you messed up. It was, oh, you're going to have to start over. You've grown your hair out so long, but now you got to go cut it off again. And you go back, and it wasn't that there was an irreparability to it. It was, you made your vow, and something came up. You weren't able to keep it. But go back and start again. And so I would challenge us as we move away from the meeting, look at where your pendulum's at. Look at where your life is at. And if you find that you're not where you want to be, where you feel like the Lord asked you to be, go back. Say, Lord, give me the strength. Help me move back to where I need to be. Help me to get in the place I need to be. I may have mentioned this before. You know, speaking of Thanksgiving, and my sense of humor sometimes is different, but sometimes when we say, does anybody have Thanksgiving, and a bunch of hands go up and go down, I laugh and chuckle and think, well, we just had a wave offering. You know, we all just waved at each other. That's the Thanksgiving we gave the Lord. And I have no problem with the raising of the hands. But if you go back and look at the heave offerings in the Old Testament, where they would literally do that, do you know what the heave offering was for? It was a chunk of meat, but the point of it was, hey, everybody, look at this, and then it was going to go feed someone. It was going to provide nourishment, going to provide sustenance. And sometimes, and speaking for myself here, sometimes I think, am I giving sustenance when I give praise to the Lord? Or am I just waving at everybody, we're all happy, we're all blessed. But where's the encouragement? Where's the morsel of encouragement that I can go away on and say, okay, I'm facing a really tough battle. And Brother Bobby faced something and he gave a testimony, and that is exactly the situation I'm facing. And I'm going to look to the Lord to help me out like he helped Brother Bobby out. Isn't that what we have the word for? We go look at the word and we say, this is encouraging testimony of what has been done through the ages. Sometimes I wonder if the reason why people think things don't happen in our lives and our age is because we're not telling people about them. We're not recording them, if you will. We're not sharing them. We're being quiet. But the Lord wants us to do more than that. In Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 16, it says, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And him that swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. What I want us to think about with these verses is, are we kind of arbitrary with our vows? Are we arbitrary with what we think is something that's a vow versus something that's not? So back here, they had some traditions. If you swear by the temple, that was okay. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, that's not. If you swear by the altar, okay. But if you swear by the gift that was on the altar, that's not. And what the Lord Jesus is calling out is, what difference does it make? The gold versus the temple. You opened your mouth and you spake a vow. It doesn't matter how you want to put it into your brain, how you want to spin the logic, how you want to try to make it fit to where it's okay to back away from this one because that's not a proper vow, because that was on this over here. What did the Lord say he wants? Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. What does he want from us as his children? If we've said we're going to walk the way, he wants us to walk it. Plain and simple. Does it mean it's going to be easy? No. Not easy oftentimes. Thinking of Brother Bobby mentioning, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen, and sometimes the Lord seems to come at a really late time. When he mentioned kind of what we as from the human sides would consider the tardiness of the Lord, the story of the three men going into the fire that wouldn't bow to the altar or the idol came to mind. You know, we're going to go in the altar or go into the fire if the Lord doesn't move. It's getting closer. They're binding us up. They're tying us up. Now we're getting drugged down there, and now we're actually getting thrown into the fire. Anytime, Lord, it'd be good for you to show up. But he didn't take him out of the fire, did he? He went into the fire with him. And they were able to survive because they trusted in one thing and one thing only. The Lord. The Lord said he's going to take care of us if we believe in him. And if we live, it's good because we believe in him. If we die, it's good because we believe in him. But we can get to where we look around and we want to make exceptions. We want to, I don't know, that's a hot looking furnace there. Surely it'd be all right to make an exception here. To say that under this type of duress, you can not live as close. You can make an exception. You can do these things. What would have happened to those young men had they not stood firm? Had they taken a vow to the Lord to die in the fire? No, not that we're aware of. But they took their desire to live for him to the point that if that's what he wants, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be obedient to him. And in so doing, we have a story that's an encouragement to us today, because they kept true to their word that they told the king and said, King, we're not afraid of you because we know God. And we know what God wants us to do. And we're trying to do what God wants us to do. And so we're going to put ourselves in his hands. You may think we're in your hands, but we're putting ourselves in his hands and we're trusting to God. And we're going to walk his way. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 says, For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled to refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is before us. Now, if you think about it, we as men do tend to look at oaths and swearing as an end, and we always tend to look for something bigger than us to swear by. I don't know if you have all paid much attention, but oftentimes when there's a swearing in, there will be a Bible or some other item that is considered sacred or special to the person that they will oftentimes put their hand on where they take an oath. And a lot of oaths, they will include, you know, phrases that, you know, so help me God, things like that, to try to imply that I'm willing to put myself at the mercy of this higher power if I don't follow through on my word. But it said God, he made a promise and he made an oath, and he can't lie. His word is solid. And that's what he wants from us. You know, if we think about being sons and daughters of God, wouldn't you want your children to act like you, to be like you? To hopefully use the same language you use? I know, as a young man coming home from school sometimes, I should say probably a child still, I wasn't a young man at the time, and using certain words picked up at school, my father wasn't the most pleased fellow. And I've had the taste of soap before, because my mother sometimes was not pleased with the things that I learned out in the world. I did not learn those from my parents. But what did please my parents? You talk like us. You speak like us. You're careful with words. Is our words that we speak, do we consider that we should be trying to speak so that people would say that person is almost like God? You can believe what they say. If they say they're going to do it, it's going to get done. I know as a person that manages a group of people, I have employees that work for me that I know if I give this person a task and they say that they're going to get it done by the deadline, I pretty much can walk away and know that that's going to get taken care of. I don't even really need to follow up, because that person will do it. And there's other people, not through, I would call, ill intent on their part, but sometimes they will promise more than they can give. And so I do have to follow with those people, saying, okay, now you said you were going to do this by this time, and I've got other things dependent upon this getting done, and I really need to know, are you going to have this done at that time? Is there anything I can help you out with? Sometimes we need to consider our lives before God. He's looking to see, are we walking his way? Titus 2:1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, the verse talks about the promise of eternal life before the world began. And it's considered a promise, but there was none of us in existence. Why is it a promise? What did the verse say there in Titus 1:2? Which God that cannot lie. So our very hope of eternal life is based on God being the God that what he says happens. Whether we were there to hear it in person or not, the fact that he said, this is going to happen, this is my plan. Our very hope of eternal salvation is based on that. Can't we give God the courtesy then of trying to be as diligent in our speech? Of saying, Lord, I want to follow the way. And then working to follow it. I will say that if you think about the Bible talks about, if you say you're going to go into a certain town and tarry and buy and sell, don't just say you're going to go do that. But it threw a caveat in there, didn't it? It says, if God be willing, I'm going to go into this town and do this thing. One of the things I do think we need to be careful of when we speak with the Lord is to consider who it is we're dealing with. There's not a man among us that doesn't have business plans for how to support his family. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible didn't say, don't go buy and sell. It just said, add the caveat in there that you're going to check with the Lord first. That you're going to see if it's within his will. And I would challenge all of us in our lives, let's try to keep the Lord in mind for what we speak, for what we do, both spiritually, both with the challenges of what the Lord would have us to measure up to spiritually, but also just in our life in general, that we are walking in a way that we could be considered the sons of God by our actions. Y'all pray for me.